The epistle for the fourth Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day. But neither do I judge my own self. For I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise from God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea, in the country of Chalcondytes, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priests Annas and Caiaphas. And the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was the worst dilemma in the history of the universe. The greatest problem from all creation. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, sinned. The whole human race was set for destruction, with no solution in sight. How can man ever pay this debt? How can he remove this stain on his soul? In order to deliver man who is guilty of death, some innocent one must die. But on earth there was not one innocent. Thus the Eternal Father addressed heaven. Since therefore, he says, amongst men there is none who can satisfy my justice, let him come forward who will go to redeem men. The angels, the cherubim, and the seraphim all are silent. None of these finite creatures can make satisfaction for this infinite offense. The cherubim look at one another. The archangels look around, searching for someone who can do this, who will save mankind. But all is silent. God the Father asks again, who will go to redeem men? Then one voice alone is heard, that of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who says, lo, here am I, send me. Thy majesty, being infinite and having been injured by man, cannot be fittingly satisfied by an angel who is purely a creature. God the Son continues, and reflect that, in spite of so great benefits bestowed on man, in spite of so many promises and threats, We have not yet been able to gain his love, and because he is not yet aware of the love we bear him. If we would oblige him without fail to love us, what better occasion can we find than that in order to redeem him, I, thy son, should go upon earth, should there assume human flesh, and pay by my death the penalty due by him. The second person concludes, in this manner, thy justice is fully satisfied, and at the same time, man is thoroughly convinced of our love. But think, answered the Heavenly Father, think, O my Son, that in taking upon thyself the burden of man's sin, thou wilt have to lead a life full of suffering. The Son answers, no matter. Lo, here am I, send me. Think, the Father interjects, that thou wilt have to be born in a cave, the shelter of the beasts of the field. Thence thou must flee into Egypt while still an infant, to escape the hands of those very men who even from thy tenderest infancy will seek to take away thy life. Again the Son answers, it matters not. Lo, here am I, send me. In many different passages in the Bible, we are told that our Lord's main purpose in becoming a man was to save us. One example is in St. John's first epistle, which says, because he hath first loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is the act of atonement, and in the case of God the Son, it was the act of appeasing God's justice for our sins and atoning for our crimes. Thus the Son became man in order to save us. Now, to save one or to rescue someone always presupposes a previous danger. From what danger, then, did our Lord save us by coming into the world? The danger of sin. Sin is the most real and the worst danger to our soul, the greatest evil that could ever befall us. In fact, it is the only danger to our salvation. Thus, sin is more dangerous than is disease or any illness, than bankruptcy or the loss of one's friends or reputation. It is worse than any threat because these only harm the body, whereas sin harms, and mortal sin kills the immortal soul. We, my dear faithful, are in danger and threatened by sin. But by the coming of our Lord, we have been able to reap the fruits and the merits of his life, death, and the sacraments which he gave us to save us from sin. After the fall, mankind deserved and was doomed to eternal punishment because of the infinite offense of sin against our infinite God. But our Lord, in his infinite love and mercy, deemed to be born a man, a weak babe subject to the cold, discomfort, and pain, born through the Blessed Virgin Mary to unite a human nature with his divine nature, and thus to make infinite restitution for sin by offering his life for us. Thus did he, infinite God Almighty, come to us on that first Christmas, a baby in the piercing cold, at midnight, in a stable, a shelter for animals. And he was laid in a manger a feeding trough of donkeys and oxen. He came in order to go through pain, to bear his cross, and eventually to give his life for us. He is our Savior. The Jesuit Father Vihari Le Sun says, love is proved by deeds. By this he means, one's heart is unveiled by his actions. The Jesuit Father goes on, the worth of these proofs of love is still further enhanced by the trouble they cost us, by the sacrifices they require of us, and the sufferings they bring on us. From this we see God's love and mercy in our regard. For did he not go through the trouble of becoming a helpless infant? Did he not offer up sacrifices, leaving heaven to come to this valley of tears and crosses? And did he not bear sufferings, choosing the poorest and coldest of lives, embracing the splinters of carpentry and the cross, all to make straight our path to heaven? From his incarnation and his whole life, we see how much God so wishes for our salvation. And as we prepare for Christmas, all he wants is that we make straight his paths, ridding ourselves of sin, accepting the many actual graces he gives us, and ever striving to live our lives in the state of sanctifying grace. With grace from the sacraments, every valley in our soul shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain. With the sacraments and our cooperation, every soul shall be flooded with grace. Every mountain, hill, and obstacle of sin will be leveled and removed. Every crooked and rough fault and vice will be straightened and removed. Confession can forgive and obliterate every sin, no matter how heinous, no matter how often. All our Lord wants is the conversion of the sinner and the salvation of the soul. One obstacle to that salvation is an unhealthy shame. Shame can be a good thing when it helps to regret and have remorse for offending God. But the devil uses shame in the excess to steer souls away from the confessional. The devil rejoices when a soul decides to put off confession or to make a bad confession. But let such a person consider how much our Lord has gone through in order to save him. How much confidence God wished to instill in the sinner, and how happy God and all of heaven will rejoice, and how peaceful the conscience and the life of the sinner who humbly confesses his sins. This is to set our conscience at peace. The season of Christmas is a time of innumerable graces from God upon man. Prepare your heart for Christ before Christmas by making your heart welcome for our Savior, and do this by making a good confession. And stay close to him by a more fervent reception of Holy Communion. For in this way you will receive the grace and the strength to lead a good life. Pray to him and talk to him in your own words, before communion and then after you have received him, to welcome him into your heart. Let us then be convinced, my dear faithful, of God's infinite love and mercy towards us. May this confidence move us to avail ourselves of the means God has given us in the sacraments of penance and communion, to cleanse our souls and to give us strength to become saints. Let us not be distant from our Lord and His Blessed Mother, but let us frequent the sacraments. And thus our souls will be ready for the Christ child at Christmas. Out of love and mercy, He told the Eternal Father, "Lo, here am I, send me." And out of love and mercy, He calls to us, "Lo, here am I, come to me, love me." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.